Blessed and highly favored. Praise the Lord. Hope you came in expecting today. I have to tell on my little armor bear down there. There's a book in the Bible. You ever have that book in the Bible? You can't find it anywhere. You're like, I know it's supposed to be in there, but I can flip all day long. Am I the only one that struggles with that? So 1 Thessalonians is like a weird book to me. So I thought I'm going to put my notebook in 1 Thessalonians so that when I come up here, I don't have to fuss with it. And guess what he did? He pulled my notebook right out of my Bible, made everything nice and neat for me. So I was delaying you so I could find 1 Thessalonians. Praise the Lord. So good to see all of you. I just so blessed by the altar ministry today. You know, this is really what we want Faith Builders to be about. We want to be a hospital for the hurting and those that need healing, amen? But we're a spiritual hospital, so when you leave here, you don't leave the same, amen? That there's a spiritual healing and deliverance that can only come by the presence of the Father. And that's what I love about our church. And we were standing down there worshiping, and it was interesting, Miss Denise, that's one of our elders, by the way, Elder Denise, if you're new today. And before she came up, I had a vision of like our roof of our church. And it like split open during our worship today. And you know how when like a sound will make a loud noise, but you can see the vibration going out? I heard the Lord say that I'm opening up and I'm sending my word from this church. That he's opening. We're coming out of the four walls of Faith Builders. And that the sound of the Holy Spirit is going to resound in North Phoenix. Amen. And we know that God has a specific purpose for why Faith Builders is here and why you're a part of it and why your coworkers are going to be a part of it and why your family members and people that God puts on your heart are going to be a part of what God is doing, because we're believing that we're going to move by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be anchored in the Word of God, and we are going to let the signs and wonders flow. Amen. And I believe that is the sign of the church. I think that's the heart of God for the local church. And we want to do our best to have a part in whatever the Holy Spirit would say. Amen. Super excited. And that's why we're launching our mid-year fast. We do a 21-day fast, the 1st of January. We felt led this year because the Lord is transitioning Faith Builders, and we're growing, and we want the heart of the Lord for this ministry and for your homes. So we're launching a mid-year fast. It starts today, everybody. And I just want to encourage you that don't be overwhelmed by the fast, but also don't dismiss it. It'll be so easy to go, well, I didn't really get my head involved yet. I've been super busy. It's summer. Kids just got back in school. Praise the Lord. Right? And it'd be so easy to just let this fast pass you by. I feel that. Okay? I feel that strong. So I want to encourage you to get on board and find your place in what God would want you to do the next 21 days. You know, we have fashioned the weeks to, you know, we've said this week, you know, minimize your social media. We want you to get on Facebook a little bit because our pastors are going to go on every day. We're fasting for passion and purpose for the kingdom of God. The Bible says if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added unto you, amen? So if we seek his passion and purpose for the kingdom, all our heart's desires will come to play. And so that's our desire. So our pastors and elders are going to get on daily and begin to encourage you in passion and purpose. But we want you just to, anything that you sacrifice the next 21 days is to replace it with time with the Lord. So we don't want to be legalistic about it. How many know God's not legalistic? You know, we serve a free God. I'm going to share that with my message this morning. But maybe you want to just fast sweets this week. Or maybe it's Coca-Cola or soda or whatever it is. Don't be so bound up in what it is. Just do something. Amen. Get your faith out there just a little bit. This may be a lot. Some of you are seasoned fasters. You're like, I've been doing this for years. So, you know, but some of you, this may be new, and that's okay because God isn't looking for the grandiose. He honored the woman who gave one mite because she gave it with her heart. So God isn't looking for you to, you know, crawl through broken glass. He already paid the price for us. Amen. But it's us surrendering our flesh to hear the voice of the Lord. That's what fasting is. Fasting doesn't supernaturally move God's hand. The word of God is done, it's finished, it's settled, it's ours, but we get in the way through our doubt, our unbelief, our fears, or whatever. So whatever it is you want to set aside, just set that aside and replace it with the word of God and prayer. That's all you have to do. And maybe it's your 10-minute drive to work, and you say, I'm going to turn that radio off, and I'm going to put on worship music, and I'm going to talk to the Lord all the way to work. I don't know what part that you can change your life, only you know. But make it important, amen? So go home this afternoon and get your notebook out or a piece of paper and write down, Lord, these are the things I'm putting my faith out there for this year. Habakkuk says if you write the vision down, he who reads it can what? Run with it. So you need to know where you're going in these 21 days. God doesn't need to know. You need to know. What are you believing God for? What is the supernatural? What's the breakthrough? What's the healing? What's the deliverances? What do you desire from the Lord? Write those things down. And you say, those are the things, Lord, that I am putting my faith to allow you to move supernaturally. Amen? I've shared this a few times, but I see some new faces, so I want to share it again. When we did our 21-day fast as a church, I wrote down 10 things that I just felt I wanted from the Lord this year and was believing God for. And I put it in a journal. I had my fasting journal that I'd write my scriptures in or talk to the Lord in daily. I have a fasting notebook, okay? So it's just for that. So I can go back and reflect during my fasting seasons. Well, I went back, happened to find this notebook, and I went through everything that I wrote down I desired from the Lord. I literally could go, check, God did that. Or check, God did that one. Literally all of them, there were 7 of them that the Holy Spirit fulfilled in my life out of 10. And I said to myself, why didn't I get my faith out there just a little bit more? If I'd wrote 10 more things, you know, how many more would have the Lord had my faith to work through in my life? Amen. So I want to encourage you, find your place in this fast. It starts today. Don't be religious about it, but find a place and begin to trust the Lord, because we believe this is the year that is a new day. It's a new beginning. The old is done away with. God has a brand new future ahead of you. Amen. We believe that in the spirit for faith builders and in your lives. So we want you to get a hold of that vision and begin to run towards that purpose in your life, okay? So even if it's just a few things, how many will commit? I will be a part of this 21-day fast. I'm looking. There's secret cameras looking. I'm just kidding. That's okay. Praise the Lord. All right, well, I'm going to go into part 2 this morning. Last week, we started on developing trust in God. And boy, I really love the reception that came last Sunday on point 1 was that God believes in you. I think that was such a powerful place to begin in our life as God's kids and as believers, is that we need to fully know that God looks at you and he believes in you. God trusts you with his word. He trusts you with his promises. Amen. He loves you so much, and he never stops loving you, and you can listen to that message online. So I want to get into point 2 today. Number 1 was God believes in you. Number 2 is, do you believe in God? Because we can have all of that validation that God believes in me, and he loves me unconditionally, and my past doesn't define my future, and all those wonderful things. It's a great place to start. But we then have to step into faith and go, do I really believe God according to his word? Do I really believe what God says about me and about my future? Or am I just in a feel-good moment while I'm at church, and there's this great positive energy going, and I walk away going, yes. And then I get in my car and my drive home, I'm enveloped in fear again. I'm developed in unbelief and disappointment and all of those things. Or do you really believe that God is moving supernaturally on your behalf? Quite a number of people believe in God. Some who don't, but many people, we could look in this room and, do you believe in God? Probably 100% of us would raise our hands. Yes, we do. But few actually trust him. It's not enough just to believe that he exists. We have to come into a place that we trust him fully with what he says about our life. That we trust his word, that it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes what it sends in our life. Amen? Trust means this. To trust God means to be dependent on him and no one else. That's trusting God. That I'm going to trust him to his word. I'm not going to look to my circumstance. I'm not going to look to my situation. I'm not going to look to how I feel about my life or my emotions. I'm going to depend only on the word of God and not what man has to say. Not what friends have to say about my life. Because how many know men are going to fail you? Women are going to fail you. Let's put both in that bucket. Amen. People are going to fail you, but there is one person in your life that will never let you down, and that is God. And unfortunately, there are people in our life that represent God, and those people that represent God have disappointed you, and you think because they serve God that God has disappointed you. But I'm here to tell you, God will never disappoint you. He will never fail you. He will never lead you down a road of despair or brokenness. God will lift you up. He will love you unconditionally. He will surround you with joy and love. That is the presence of the Lord in your life. And any other thing that tries to attach itself to your life of feeling insignificant and feeling like you don't have value or you don't have importance or you can't do it, those things that try to come to your life are not the voice of the Lord. It is the voice of your flesh. It is the voice of your past. Could be the voice of someone who didn't speak into your life or somebody who spoke negatively into your life. I'm here to tell you today, God thinks good of you and not of evil. Amen. And he loves you. So let's read 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men. Let's stop right there. Remember, today's point is, do you believe in God? When you have the word of God, my trust is not what man has to say. My trust is, God, what do you have to say? My trust is not what my boss thinks about me or what my spouse thinks about me or what anybody thinks about me. What does God have to say about the situation in my life? So let's start there. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now, what's working effectively in your life? The word of God. Not the opinions of man, not the opinions of yourself or your circumstances. What is working effectively is the word of God. And what we have to do as believers is we've got to find, what does the word of God say on the situation I'm going through? I don't care what Sister Susie has to say. I don't care what Brother Tim has to say. Amen. I've got to find out for myself, what does the word of God say about my situation? And you may get on the prayer line and you'll have an awesome prayer here, and that's wonderful, but that is not sustaining. That's like a wonderful moment where you're reigniting and you're getting repositioned. But what's going to be your life preserver when you go back to work, when you face your situation, when you're staring it dead in the eyes? What's going to be the anchor of your hope? The word of God. Because the word of God is stable, and it is sure, and it is unfailing. And man in life is not sure. Amen? And it fails in our life, and it is attached with great disappointment. That word effectively says, the word of God is working effectively in those who believe. That word means energy. It is at work in your life. So when you have the word of God, the promises of God, that word is working on your behalf in the unseen. The opinions of man has no power over you. Even if it's positive or negative, it is not a positive force working in the unseen. What is working in the unseen is the effective, powerful word of God. The Bible says it is sharper than a two-edged sword. This is your hope. This is your life. This is your joy. This is your peace. This is your breakthrough, is what the word of God says. You may be wiped out in what life has happened in you, but I'm asking you today, can you believe in God? Can you trust in him according to his word? Because when you get that word from God, you will hang on with bulldog faith and you don't let go. No matter what winds of opposition, no matter what discouragement comes, amen, the devil wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy. He is on your tail to steal your joy so he can steal the promises of God so that he can steal your breakthrough. But the devil is defeated. He's under our feet. No weapon formed against us can prosper. And as his kids, I'm going to get into the word of God and let that word be working in the spirit in the situation that I can't change anyway. See, the word works. It's the breath of God. So when you're declaring the word of God, that word is working in the unseen, which you can't get into. But as you're following God, right, there may be opposition, there may be resistance. You don't know how you're going to get to the other side, but you shoot the word ahead of you. And you shoot the word. It's making a way where there seems to be no way. I don't know how I'm going to get that promotion. I don't know how I'm going to get that favor. I don't know how God's going to restore my joy. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to trust God according to his word, and I'm going to walk by faith and not by what I see towards the promises of God. And every step you take in that dark season, you're getting closer to the light. You're getting closer to the breakthrough. You're getting closer to the healing. You're getting closer to your heart's desires. But you don't quit in the midnight hour. Amen. You stay on course. There's three things I want to share with you this morning that happens when you are truly trusting the Lord. I want to open up to Jeremiah 17:7. And it says this. I'll give you three things. Jeremiah 17:7. It said, blessed is the man who what? Is it up there? Oh, no wonder you're just looking at me. Blessed is the man who trusts. Everybody say trust. Trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. When your trust is fully in God's word and not on man, the Bible says you are blessed. Say, I am blessed. That word blessed means so many powerful things, but it means enjoying happiness. How many could use a little bit of happiness in your life? See, when you're trusting God, even though your situation looks bleak and despair, I'm blessed according to this word. That means I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have the peace that passes all understanding. I don't know why I'm happy. I don't know why Proverbs says that I can laugh at my days to come. I don't understand why I have his peace and his joy. It's because I'm trusting in his word. I'm not leaning on my own understanding, but I'm trusting in the word of God. And he says, you are blessed. It means you're enjoying happiness. Why what? The word is working on your behalf. Why can you have peace in a broken situation? Because his word is effectively working in my life. God says he fights the battles for us. We got to stop fighting our own battles. We got to quit taking up the cross that was already paid in full for us and just begin to walk by faith according to the word of God. Amen. So you are blessed. It means blessed means bringing pleasures into your life. When was the last day in our circumstances that we actually woke up in a good mood and happy, looking forward to the day? Pastor Paul preached this morning about, you know, we should wake up every day with purpose in our life. Wake up every day going, what does God have for me today? In his joy and in his peace, no matter what I'm going through. And that only comes from trusting in the Lord. You'll get through your dark hour. You'll get through your disappointing time when you trust in the Lord. That word blessed means contentment. A content person doesn't look for satisfaction anywhere else because you're satisfied. You're content in life. You're not looking and feeling like something is missing and broken. The Bible says nothing is missing and nothing is broken in your life when you trust in the Lord. Amen? So let's go back to the top. Is it there? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Last week we learned that hope is what? The anchor of our soul. So you whose hope is in the Lord, you're anchored now in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Now, I want to look at that word waters there because when I studied it out, I thought I was going to find something amazing. You think you're planted by waters. It's a good place to be as a tree, right? But if you study out that word waters there, it actually is a transitorial place. The word actually translates, it's, I don't know why it's got this word. I haven't looked thoroughly, but it means urine. It's kind of gross, isn't it? But the reason why I'm telling you that is because you shall be like a tree planted by places of disappointments, places that aren't pleasurable. God's not trying to uproot you and bring you out of your situation. You're going to be planted in areas that you can't seem to get out of. We want a quick relief. God, just move this thing out of my life. He says, no, you're like a tree planted by the waters that aren't pleasant, and they're stagnant, and they may be ugly, and they may not be producing any life in your world. Amen? But you shall be like a tree planted by transitory. Does anybody know what transitory means? It's temporary things that come and go in your life. You ever lived that season with the Lord that just seems like blessings come and there they go? I have a little bit of joy. Oh, it's gone. Right? It's a transfer. Where's this place that I can live in this abundance and this overflow and this joy? I'm living in this transition time that I'm not really happy with. But it goes, for he shall be like a tree planted by transitory yucky water, which spreads out its roots by the river. So you may be in a situation that doesn't look good or smell good or be pleasant to you, but your roots are finding life in the river, which is what? The presence of God, the life of God, the hope of God. The word of God that you're trusting on is working on your behalf. A root will seek what's going to give it life. What's going to give it nutrients? It is thirsty and hungry for something living. So as you're still sitting by this area that's ugly and unattractive, God is going down and your roots are trusting him. I'm leaning on him. I'm hoping on him. I'm not going by my own circumstances, but I'm staying planted in the word of God. And as you're not moved, the root of God is seeking out the living waters in your life. I didn't have to move from my situation. I didn't have to work out this embarrassing situation. I don't have to change anything. I just have to remain trusting in the Lord and walk in his blessings. Amen. I don't care what you think about my stinky water right now. I don't care what my life looks like. I don't owe my circumstances to no man. I know what God is working on my life, and I'm going to trust and lean on him, and he is going to make me shine, and he will make his glory shine. Amen? So quit trying to worry about what man thinks about your life. You just lean into the Creator, the one who can fix your life. Amen? All right, it goes on. So your roots go down by the river and will not fear when heat comes. So what God is working in your life, that root isn't afraid of when life happens. The root is still on assignment, amen? When you know the will of God on something, when you know the will of God on something, fear has nothing to project itself onto. So I may not understand what's happening, but when I know the will of God, and then I'm in his will, and he's making a way where there seems to be no way, fear can't project itself onto any situation because I'm not in fear, I'm in faith. So what? That parched land, I'm not going to fear when heat comes. I don't care if I get a bigger bill in the mail. I don't care if my marriage grows worse. I don't care if my job is more unpleasant. Sometimes things get worse before they get better, don't they? But I'm not going to fear when heat comes. I'm not going to fear when it gets worse. I'm not going to think God's not on my side and I'm going to give up on church and I'm going to give up believing God. No, I'm not going to fear when heat comes because I know the word is working on my behalf. Making a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? Because I know the will of God in my life. I know his word and his promises. So I will not fear when heat comes. Why won't I fear? Because I am planted. I don't have to be afraid because I am planted. The Bible says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of God's praise. When you get in a dangerous situation is when you uproot yourself. That's what, you know, we have people discouraged and they give up on God and they quit believing. Why? They unplant themselves. And whatever God's been working on their behalf gets uprooted with them. And they wonder why they haven't seen the blessings of God, the breakthrough in their life, because they didn't stay planted and hang on when things got rough, amen? These next 21 days, you're going to be fasting, and you're believing God for some pretty amazing things. I know that you are. In this 21 days, stay planted. Stay planted. Don't quit coming to church the next 21 days. Enemy's going to try. The heat's going to come. Amen. We don't call it in, but life happens. You're going to stay planted in the house of the Lord. You're going to keep giving when the enemy wants you to stop giving. You're going to keep trusting when the enemy wants to get you to stop trusting. Every circumstance is going to happen, but you're going to say, but I've got something written down. I've got a vision ahead of me. And I'm believing God to be in a different place in my life at the close of this year than where I came into in this year. Amen. All right. And will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be what? Green. In your midnight hour by stinking waters while you're trusting the Lord. He says, I'm going to make your leaves green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding what? Fruit. So even in your ugly place, the Bible says, when you trust in me, you're going to be blessed. And even in that stinky place, you're going to have fruit. You're going to have the breakthrough. You're going to have the healing. You may still have some stinky waters for a little bit, but you're still going to bear fruit. But what happens when we're still in a situation of ugly, it's hard to recognize the fruit. God brings a miracle, but all you can see is the ugliness. You've got to, in this season where your roots are going deep and they're seeking out living waters, you've got to begin to see the good things the Lord is doing in your life. You got to find the blessings and thank him, even if it's for that one little blessing. Hang on to that blessing and thank him. See the fruit. Because guess what's going to happen? The next thing you know, your branch is going to have another fruit. And then another fruit. And then another fruit. And then you're going to have joy and hope, and your passion is going to come alive. And you're going to dream again. And you're going to desire again. And everything's going to be quickened on the inside of you. And you're going to wake up one day and have peace and have happiness and be at a different place than you were because you saw the small fruit as it was manifesting in your life. Amen? Always find yourself thankful in the Lord. Matthew 7, verse 24 says this. Flip over here really quick. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, remember, we're talking about responding to God, not to man. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. See, every time you're obeying the Lord according to his word in your dark hour, you're building a foundation that is strong. Strong on the word of God. Strong in trusting the Lord. And verse 26 says, verse 25, and the rains descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. So even though you're doing the word of God, winds still come. Rains still come. Frustrations still happen, don't they? But you're doing the word of God. But he says, those that do it, and what? When the winds came and blew, what? And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The only sure foundation you have in your life is when what? You are a doer of God's word. It's the only hope you have. It's the only joy you have. It's your only foundation is when you begin to do the word of God. Last week I spoke about being in ministry for all the years that I have. The weakness that I see in people who love the Lord is in their crisis, they don't know how to do the word of God. We can shout to the word of God and we can lift up our hands. That's a good word. Praise the Lord. And we identify because our spirit of God in us goes, yes, that's God. But when we're in the middle of the crisis, when the rain is coming down, when the winds are blowing and I'm by myself and I am surrounded by all of this garbage, it's in that moment that we've got to do the word of God. It's where that word that you found from God now becomes active in your life and it becomes that foundation in which you stand. That's why you have to have your word from God right now. Every one of us here should have a scripture that I should be able to come to you and say, what scripture are you standing on in your life right now? You should have one verse that you could go, this is what God's doing right now. It's not to condemn you. I mean, you know, maybe there'd be a time you come up to me and be like, I hope I have my, you know. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm saying we should have that word. We should be able to say, this is the scripture that I'm standing on. I have my own. Can ask me afterwards if you want to know. But I have mine. Why? Because when that wind comes, when I'm at home and my mind begins to mess with me and my emotions begin to arise, I better have that word that becomes my foundation in which I stand. Or the winds of life will blow me to the left and blow me to the right, and I'll be an emotional disaster. But I want to hang on to the word of God. Wind, devil, you can try, but I am not going to let go. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to grow weary. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Because my hope is not in man. My hope is anchored in the word of God. Verse 26 says, but whoever hears these sayings of mine, same word, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descend, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. It's the same word, and you can look at other people's lives and maybe based on how God feels about you, because maybe they're blessed or they have a good marriage. Bless their hearts. Bless their little hearts. Maybe their kids are all sweet and don't run around crazy hoodlums running around the church destroying it. And you can compare your life and say, what is going on? Why isn't that working in my life? Why isn't God changing my circumstance? The difference is simply one person who said, I trust you at your word, and I built my foundation. Same word, but I trust more my situation, and I'm standing on the sand, and not only when I fall, it's going to be a great fall. Because the great fall, I believe, is someone who said, but I put my trust in God. The one who could change everything and it didn't happen, that's a great fall. Because then they feel God let them down, and that's a hard person to pull back up to the one who can change it, isn't it? So our faith has to be fully in the word of God. Now I'm standing on a foundation. I don't know how it's going to go as it gets built up, but I'm going to trust the Lord. Amen? Do you believe in God? Because God believes in you. Let's look over really quick to James 1, verses 22. I actually got to open up my Bible. Sorry about that. I'll close here in just a minute. James 1, verse 22 says this. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, it's not enough to sit in a church service and hear a good word. That's step one. That's getting the truth to you. That's getting the seed planted in the soil of your heart. But it's your responsibility to hang on to that word and believe it and trust it, protect it, nurture it, right? That's our responsibility. Okay, so let's go again. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Let's just stop right there. You're sitting in this service, and I can see your faces, and I can see faith in all of you. Why? Because you're hearing the word of God. You're looking into the image of who you really are. The word of God is a reflection of Christ in us. So as I'm looking into this word, right, the perfect law of liberty, I'm looking into it. I'm identifying, yes, that's who I am. Yes, I'm a man of God. Yes, I'm a woman of God. Yes, I can do all things through Christ. You're sitting here looking in this giant mirror, reflecting who you are, and you're going, yes. But when you don't become a doer of the word, he says, you look in that mirror and you walk away into the world. You walk into your situation and you forget who you are. You forget that you're the head and not the tail. You forget that you're a conqueror. You forget that God is not a respecter of persons. You're reminded of looking in the mirror of failure and defeat all the time. And that's why he says you've got to keep looking into the perfect law of liberty. That's why the word of God is so important. You're reminding yourself who you are. This is who I am. This is not who I am. Social media is not who I am. How I look is not who I am, how many followers, how many likes, all that, that's not who I am. I am who I am in Christ Jesus. I am a reflection of the word of God. And whatever else you're facing out here, when you begin to find out truly who you are in this reflection, none of that will matter. It won't matter. Your pay scale won't matter. Your situation won't matter. Because you're going to know who you are in Christ Jesus and where you're walking. And as you walk along him, the blessings, the Bible says, chase you down. The blessings chase you down. Favor chases you down. The word is working on your behalf. Amen. All I got to do is keep my eyes focused on Jesus. And it says, and immediately, it means suddenly right now, forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That perfect law of liberty, the word of God is freedom. It's so dry in here. You know, the most awkward thing is to see like 150 people watch you drink out of a bottle of water. I ain't going to lie. It was a little unnerving. But that's better than choking like a spastic person. Okay. The word of God is liberty. Liberty is freedom. Liberty means freedom from slavery, absent from external restraints. And the reason why I'm sitting here is because some people can look at the word, well, there's so much bondage. There's the do's, the don'ts. I can't. I shouldn't. Legalistic, right? But when you get the word of God in you, the Bible says it's the perfect law of liberty. This is actually freeing. This is actually delivering. This is actually your hope and your joy. It's the perfect law of liberty, amen? The word of God does not enslave us to a bondage of legalism, but rather frees us to keep its thoughts and behaviors. There's a freeing when you get the word of God. It doesn't bind you up. It sets you free. Purity of life is this. Purity of life is not a quest for perfection. As a believer, God is not looking for you to be perfect. Everybody should say, shout amen on that one. He's not looking for perfection. That's not the purity of life. As much as it is a quest for liberation from the things that may inhibit our lives or reduce a power-filled life. So the freedom of the word frees you up of those things that are actually enslaving you, not perfection. So if you're bound in depression, perfect law of liberty sets you free. If you're bound in hopelessness, perfect law of liberty gives me hope and joy. The word of God is the opposite. It is freeing. And that's why the enemy tries to keep you out of it so bad. Crickets. All right. You're blessed when you believe in the Lord. Amen. Let's read quickly Psalms 34:8. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see. And I'll close here just a second. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. That word taste there means this. It means to perceive that God is good. It also means to experience yourself. God wants you to taste and see that he is good yourself. It's not enough for me to tell you how good God is, because I could stand up here all day and I've tasted of the Lord. I've tasted of his goodness in bitter times of my life. But you have to taste and see that he is good. And how do you do that? By experiencing the word of God, by being a doer of God's word yourself. When you begin to be a doer of God's word, you'll begin to see the miracles of God perform in your life. And all of a sudden you go, I serve a good God. I serve a miracle-working God. I taste of the goodness of the Lord. Amen? And when you taste of something good, you want to tell everybody about how good it is. Amen? Go to a good restaurant. Find some. I'm craving donuts for some reason. Donuts are like everywhere right now. Do you notice that on social media? And they're like uber designed donuts. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You see it on social media? They like got glitter on them now and caking on. They look so good. I'm like, I need a box of donuts. And I haven't done it yet. But when you taste something good, you can't wait to tell your friends, man, I went to that place and it was so good. You got to go try it out. That's how you become a bearer of the good news of God, when you taste and see that he is good. When you are blessed in your life, you can't wait to shout how good God is, because now you personally know how good God has been in your life. Amen? Psalms 34:22 says, none of those who trusted in him will be condemned. When you trust in the Lord, you cannot lose. Amen? You cannot lose. All right, y'all, I'm going to stop right there. We'll pick it up next week. How's that sound? We'll stay in point two. Praise the Lord.